If you love this podcast and IPR, you probably know that it's fueled by listener dollars. Hi, I'm Rick Brewer, a talk show producer at Iowa Public Radio. And part of my job is connecting with Iowans who have stories to tell. When you contribute to IPR, you help make that possible. Membership contributions make up 57% of IPR's budget. That's huge and amazing. So do your part to support the podcast and programs you enjoy. Go to iowapublicradio.org and tap the red donate button. Thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Nature-based learning, schools, camps, after-school programs, and other educational programs that integrate significant time spent in nature into the curriculum are becoming more popular. According to the North American Association for Environmental Education, in the past 3 years alone, the number of nature-based preschools, forest kindergartens, and outdoor preschools have doubled in the United States, reaching, by their count, 585. We're also seeing this trend in Iowa, with a number of new nature-based schools opening in the past few years or planning to open soon. And it's not just preschools. Nature-based elementary school programs are popping up, and there is a very old school in Iowa, Scattergood Friends in West Branch, that offers nature-based learning for middle and high schoolers. This hour, I'll talk with teachers from four different nature-based schools in the state, starting with Good Earth Nature School outside of Solon. Nicole Upchurch is director and lead teacher of the Early Childhood Program. The organization has been offering childcare and after-school programs and summer camps for the last couple of years, and in August of 2020, they launched their full-time school. Nicole, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And what an interesting school year to launch in, although I think in some ways perhaps that has actually been of a help to your school in creating a lot of interest for people who wanted to be part of a small school environment. But let's start with a sort of a general idea. What is Good Earth Nature School?
Yes, well, the Good Earth Nature School serves kids pre-K through sixth grade, and we are year-round, a multi-age school with plenty of time outdoors, like you said.
So how many students are at the school right now?
Currently, we have 24 students, and we have 12 4- and 5-year-olds that would be in the pre-K.
All right, and then how many, so that would be about 12 elementary age kids as well?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So tell me a little bit with preschool. I think I have a pretty good idea of how a lot of playtime, a lot of time spent in nature would work. But tell us what it's like. What's a normal day like for your preschoolers?
Well, for my preschoolers, we always start outside if we can. And we give the kids time to settle into their school day and check in with their friends. And then we transition into the prairie or the woods. We also have a really shallow sandy bottom stream on the property. So we spend our morning out in nature, and we often incorporate music and Spanish and lots of games. But also lots of free time for them to explore, and as a teacher, watching what they're curious about so that I can dive into that a little deeper. And then in the afternoons, you know, in the beginning of our school year, it was kind of a little bit more of the same, with really giving them some time to be quiet too. But as we've launched in the winter, we've kind of created opportunity for them to do more art and more reading, work with reading buddies with the older kids, and dive back into music, and also just emphasizing a little more about reading and math, because our pre-K are very interested in all things learning. So,
why do you think this approach is valuable?
Well, that's a big question. My most pragmatic response would be just that parents have told me they have healthier and happier home lives. And that is a really lovely thing to hear. I think that it's valuable because if kids can learn how to love nature and connect with it, they're going to want to interact with it as adults and even advocate for it. I think it's important because it helps us. I think in the pandemic, we've learned this more than ever, that nature is a refuge for us to stay in touch with ourselves and to find peace in a busy world.
In our culture, we tend to, if we spend time outside, we tend to only spend time outside when conditions are ideal. Of course, if you're spending time outside every single day, you're going to be outside in conditions that are less than ideal sometimes. With preschoolers, how do you manage that?
Well, I think it's ideal to be outside every day because that's how you get used to that. You put yourself in that situation and you make sure you have warm clothes and you wear a base layer and you wear wool socks. And we teach them ways to stay warm and make it fun through games and through songs. So I think it's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable. And I think there's a lesson in that even. I know that it's ideal to get outside every day, especially in the winter, because of the benefits of sunshine, the benefits of fresh air. So with littles, I think you just, you know, they are so curious and so playful. And once you get them out there playing, we stay warm. We'll also build a fire if we can. And the property where our school is so lovely because the farm is up on the hill, but you can get down into this bowl kind of in the landscape. And so if it's windy, you can find different places to play that won't be so cold. So it's a lovely place.
Tell me a little bit more. I know you work with the younger kids, but obviously this is a small organization, so you know a lot about all of it. Tell me what life is like for the elementary school students.
Yeah, well, my daughter actually attends the elementary this year. That was a decision we made because of the pandemic. Bridie Criswell runs our elementary program primarily. Brent and Bridie own the property where our school is. They are passionate and kind educators, and Brent will be working with us next year in the elementary, which I'm very excited about. For the elementary students this year, it's not as much time outside, because they need to, they have more academics to attend to. But I love how Bridie will just see a moment for just a day that they need that to get outside, or it'll just be a lovely day and she'll just take that opportunity to go out. And that's part of the advantage of a small group, is that you can get the things done you need to get done academically and still have the flexibility of kind of giving the kids what they need in terms of energy levels or just morale, really.
With 12 students in the school, they must be at all different levels. So how does one teacher manage all of those different levels of learning at the same time?
We don't. We have so much help. This is a community. We have the most amazing team of teachers out at the Good Earth. So the ratio for the pre-K program is 1-6, and the ratio, and it's the same for the elementary actually this year. For the elementary, through Bridie's guidance, she's able to set up the assistant teachers to work in small groups with kids to help them get what they need. Big shout out to, we have the most amazing staff ever.
Well, and I know that Bridie and Brent both have plenty of experience in the public school system. The kids who graduate from Good Earth Nature School are going to be, probably most of them, going back into our public schools. And the public schools tend to be more benchmark-based and looking at rigorous testing, that kind of thing. How do you envision preparing these students to transition to that more traditional public school learning?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it's very important that kids are ready to take on whatever comes up in their world. And I want to say, too, since you have Scattergood on the program, that if they were to go to Good Earth till sixth grade, they could transition to Scattergood as well if they're still seeking something alternative. My daughter will actually be going to public school next year. So this is definitely something I've thought about a lot. And I feel like Bridie really cares for her students. We all care for the students. I get to work with the elementary in the afternoons doing Spanish and music. And we set up our students by teaching them that what they have to say is important and to speak up when we don't understand. Asking questions is the way that we can navigate new situations. We also hope to build lots of self-esteem so that if there is anything that they feel like is, there will event, of course, be something new to them, right? Whether it's socially or academically, that they'll be able to confidently walk into that situation. I feel like it's really important for us to always keep an eye on those standards as well, knowing that kids could potentially transition into that setting. However, I when I look at the group of kids that we have, they are outstanding academically and are able to explore their interests beyond those academics. So I'm not concerned about my daughter or the other kids at the Good Earth at this point. And I really appreciate that question. And it's an important one to bring up year after year.
We only have about a minute left, but I'm wondering if very briefly you could tell me about something amazing that happened during your school year this year that could only have happened in this environment.
I love that. Oh my goodness.
I know, it's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one. You know, for me, the most amazing things are those moments when I have something planned as a teacher, and then a student says something and it takes us down a completely different path. So there was this time that I had this kind of loud, boisterous lesson of exploring the woods, and I quickly discovered that they were in this quiet mood. And the kids, me following their direction, we decided to just sit and have snack and watch. And it was a cold day, and there were these blue jays flying around. And one of my students said, they're saying, do it, do it, do it, do it. And we just watched about seven of them. It was so special.
Well,
and anyway,
we...
now when we need to do something difficult, we say, do it, do it.
All right. Thank you so much for talking with me, Nicole Upchurch of Good Earth Nature School outside of Solon. Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about nature-based schools, preschools, elementary schools, and we'll even talk about a high school a little bit later on this hour. The number of nature-based schools seems to be increasing pretty dramatically around the country and here in the state of Iowa as well. And this hour, I'm talking with people from four different nature-based schools around the state. I know, of course, that there are many more. If you have an experience you'd like to tell us about, you can give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me now is Blue Morning Snow, director of Prairie Flower Children's Center in Ames. It's a preschool and kindergarten inspired by the principles of Waldorf education and forest schools, in operation since 1996, although the school is not open this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Blue, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And as I mentioned, Prairie Flower is a preschool and a kindergarten. Tell us about the school. What's it like?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, it's, like you said, it's a forest preschool in Ames, and we're on the north side of town. So we have this lovely red cabin kind of nestled in the woods next to a city park and right next to the Skunk River. And we're on 14 acres of just woods and ravines and creeks and riverside. We have all that to play in. And then we have other programs for the community. We have a playgroup for 1 to 3 year olds. And then we have also we have some after school nature clubs for K through 12 students.
So with your approach, I mentioned that this is a Waldorf inspired school, and we don't have any Waldorf elementary schools or high schools in the state of Iowa. So this is kind of a standalone opportunity for people who aren't familiar with Waldorf schools. What is the basic philosophy?
Well, what we take from, you know, the inspiration that we take from it is, you know, really this basic part of our curriculum of instilling a foundational kind of rhythm that underlies everything we do that builds. And so we build a regular daily and weekly rhythm, and that circles out to the seasonal rhythm. So everything is kind of interwoven from that foundation, if that makes sense. And this gives a, this is huge. It just gives a sense of security and balance to the children. And really, because overall, what that aspect of our curriculum does is to empower the child to feel capable, to find who they are as a human being and what they like to do, you know.
So give me an example. What's a day like for preschoolers at Prairie Flower?
Sure. And so, like I said, you know, so the daily rhythm we have, so kind of going back to the rhythm idea, you know, it's that they would know what to expect every day. I mean, every day, like Nicole kind of described, you know, we start outside, and but then a particular day might be bread day or something, but we start outside and then we have our time of play in the woods, and then we come back and we just create many opportunities for practical life learning, artistic activities, and sensory exploration. And importantly, so when we come back in, we always have a circle time, you know, with songs and poems and movement play that, you know, emphasizes the connection to the natural world and to the seasons and to each other, really. But there's a wonderful kind of emphasis on meaningful work, which empowers the children, you know, to just feel capable, like I said. So there's dishwashing and sewing, and you know, these young children are doing gardening too, sweeping. An emphasis really on this care, kind of a warm love that pervades all.
Well, I'm going to ask you with a little more time the question that I asked Nicole right at the end and put her on the spot. So can you tell me about something that you have experienced at Prairie Flower that was really powerful that you just don't think could have happened in a different environment?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, we've been shut down. So, I mean, I've just been thinking of this so much, you know, because there have been so many powerful experiences. And actually, my friend and co-teacher from last year wrote about this. And so I was just thinking about it. But this experience, I mean, preschool is about, you know, social emotional learning. It's a time of huge social emotional learning. And what is so lucky and amazing about forest school is that we are also encountering nature as part of that skill set, you know? And so we're learning to relate to each other, but we're also relating to nature, you know, we're building a relationship with it, you know? And nature, it becomes kind of the crowning part of our curriculum, I'd say. I consider it as, you know, a co-teacher in this, because it's just, you can't get some of these experiences anywhere else, you know? I mean, and what we want to do is instill a sense of belonging. We want to help children feel they belong, that all kinds of people are welcome and belong, that all, you know, bodies are beautiful. We want to celebrate all of this. And anyway, and build responsibility this way, and doing, the way to do that is to have this love, this loving relationship with the woods. But
Can you give me a specific example for somebody who hasn't experienced this? Tell me about something that happened.
The example that I was referring to at the beginning that my co-teacher wrote about was we would encounter every day, you know, in our morning walk to the woods, almost every day, this deer family, you know, and she was having a conversation with a child, you know, and like, and just the insights that come from the children, you know, what she wrote about was actually, you know, his observation, like we come to the woods every day and so do they. And just this, you know, acceptance of everyone's belonging. But also, you know, just kind of some of those awe-inspiring experiences that Nicole was also talking about. I mean, you're slowed down, you're in children time, you know, you're protecting childhood and protecting their ability to just be themselves and, you know, kind of holding the space for them to experience the world. And, you know, there's other moments, there's just incredible moments of, you know, a child who wasn't ever able to climb, climb up a slippery hill, trying over and over again, you know, and finally getting to do it and just seeing them come to just a huge sense of confidence from that, if that makes sense. But
well, and you're on pause this year because of the pandemic. Is that an opportunity for you as you look next, you know, look toward reopening in the fall? Are there goals and hopes that you'll be able to put into place, do you think?
Yes, it's a huge opportunity. And I'm working, me, myself, and the board of directors, you know, really on kind of sharpening some of our mission and our values and thinking about our approach and, you know, what we want to emphasize. It's been a fruitful time for sure.
Well, best of luck to you. Blue, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
Blue Morning Snow, director of Prairie Flower Children's Center in Ames, a preschool and kindergarten inspired by the principles of Waldorf education and forest schools. That one's been in operation since 1996. Now we're going to talk about another school that just launched this year. Tamarack Discovery School is based in Coralville, offering educational opportunities for kindergarten through fifth grade. Katie Christensen is the director. Hello, Katie.
Hello. Thank you for having me today. I'm so excited to talk with you.
Well, thank you for being here. Tell me about Tamarack Discovery School. What's the philosophy?
Yeah, thanks. So we started long ago, actually, as just a group of women that were finding ourselves in discussions all the time of what really is the purpose of school and what would a really, really good school environment look like? And we kept coming back to these conversations and kept questioning on these conversations. And as we were doing that, we thought we have answers to some of these really big problems. So our biggest thing is really putting kids at the center of their education and then connecting to all the resources that are around us to really give that enriching, fulfilled environment for learning.
We've talked a little bit about the environments the other two schools are part of, and they have the great fortune to be part of really beautiful natural areas. You don't necessarily have that one outdoor classroom that you have easy access to. Tell me about your setup.
Yeah, thanks. So we actually are right across the street from a nice wooded area with a bottom stream that we visit quite regularly. But I think we've found a path that's really able to connect kids with nature because we have a bus. And we've utilized that bus to not only explore our immediate surroundings, but we're able then to take our kids to the places that provide them with really enriching outdoor spaces. So we have access to prairies. We have access to woods. We have access to ponds and streams. And we're not limited by where our location is. I think it also kind of gives accessibility to families that can't make long trips out into the country or into the woods. Like, we are creating a location that's completely accessible because we're the ones that are going to then transport those kids to those nature places and to immerse them in that nature, because we can literally take them anywhere. And that's what we do on a daily basis.
Launching in the midst of a pandemic has to be challenging, but I can imagine that just as with the Good Earth, the idea of having a small learning pod in this environment was probably really attractive. Were you already planning to launch this year, or did the pandemic push you forward?
Yeah, I think we responded to our community's need as far as families were looking for a small community. They were looking for a chance for their kids to have, daily education. But then also we have a lot of families that were looking for alternatives, and we're looking for something that was a little bit more authentic in their kids' learning. So it kind of was this perfect storm where this fall just seemed like the right time, and it really has proven to be the case.
How many students do you have?
We have 24 students. So we, with a really long wait list, we've had to cap it, right? Of course, we had to keep our numbers capped at 12 in each classroom. So we have a primary classroom and an intermediate classroom, and we've been running full steam up since the beginning of school.
So tell me what a day is like for your elementary school students.
Yeah, so, we kind of have this environment where we understand that we have families that are in this with us for the long haul, and we're really meeting that need that they've been looking for a long time. We also understand that we have some families who were looking for a COVID relief, right, of how are they going to educate their kids during this pandemic. So we have really focused on balancing the two worlds of a lot of exploration, a lot of time in nature for kids to learn all the valuable skills that comes with time in nature. But then we also have a really strong academic program as well. So the way that our kids do their day is they spend half of their time in a classroom environment where we have a ratio of 1 to 6 in both classrooms. Actually, our afternoon classroom for our intermediate classroom is really, we have 3 adults that work with our 12 kids during that time of the day. So it's half day in classroom type instruction. However, it looks different than a typical classroom where we have students who are we're really examining their strengths and their passions and then rolling those into leveraging them to progress them down the standards, but then doing that at a pace that's appropriate for each individual student so that they can feel that success, and that when they are having failure, we're there to teach that, failure is that important piece that when we learn to accept that and use that as a tool to learn, that we actually learn more quickly and we learn more deeply. So because we have adults there to catch those failures and to celebrate them, we're able to take kids down their own individual instructional path, always keeping in mind, what does that grade level standard look like? Because we do know as they enter either their, next year of elementary, or if they are entering into middle school or higher, that they have the skills that they need to be successful.
Yeah, I'm curious. You offer K through 5th grade education, and you're in the midst of a community where the public schools go K through 6 in elementary school and junior high starts in 7th grade. Why did you decide to cap it at 5th grade?
Yeah, part of it was just having the diversity of learners and wanting to make sure that we didn't spread ourselves to a point where the differentiation between the higher's and the lower age kids couldn't be met. So we just wanted to make sure that we had a span of kids, knowing that it would be difficult for us to bring in extra adults, keeping our numbers small. So we just kind of wanted to keep our numbers a little bit closer together. However, that's in the year of a pandemic, anything can change. So we're open to other things in the future, but it was just really about managing in a safe environment.
So thinking back on the last semester, really, the last few months of teaching at Tamarack Discovery School, what's a special moment that you've experienced that made you feel like we're on the right track? This is good stuff happening.
Yeah. So, in response to the mix of kids that have enrolled with us this year, I think we're reaching some kids that we wouldn't typically have got a chance to interact with, or we're taking kids on experiences that they wouldn't typically have had. So I think it really is those individual kids who came in with a lot of anxiety or came in with a lot of self-doubt that we've seen just blossom into really self-confident learners. who advocate for themselves, who have passion areas that they're willing to share and explore. So it's really been just the development of the kids that we've seen in a way that when they have adults to help nurture those passions and nurture their questions and really see them for who they are, we're changing kids and how they see themselves. And I think that's happening across the board with our kids who are 5 and our kids who are 10. So we're really, really fortunate to have had that experience.
Now, I can imagine a lot of people thinking, well, in a very small private school setting with a lot of one-on-one attention, you're going to have that. It, very quickly, what does the nature offer in that way?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we underestimate is the connection between time and nature and benefits in the classroom. Besides just simple things like stress reduction and improved memory and concentration and all those things that kids gain from spending time in nature, we just see that building things like creativity and navigating social interactions and taking big risks and testing theories, all of those things translate directly into academic success as well. So those times spent in nature where those skills that can't get addressed sitting in a desk, kind of in isolation, can be addressed in nature and then applied to academics.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Katie Christensen is director of Tamarack Discovery School based in Coralville. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about nature-based learning and schools that take advantage of the natural areas they're part of to integrate that into the school curriculum. And the final school we're going to talk about this hour has a long history. Scattergood Friends School in West Branch was founded by Quaker pioneers. It first opened in 1890. These days, it is a college preparatory boarding school for high school students and offers a day program for middle school students. The school is located in rural West Branch with many outdoor opportunities. And Dana Foster is a teacher at Scattergood Friends. Hello, Dana. Dana, thank you so much for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
And Dana, I gave a very, very brief history of Scattergood Friends there a moment ago, founded in 1890. Give me a little bit more about this school and what the philosophy that it was founded on was, and then we'll move to today.
Right. As you're saying, it was founded in 1890. It was founded by the Iowa Quakers to educate their children. And so for a while, it really was like a school run by the Quakers for the Quaker kids. But these days, only a small number of our students are Quaker. And we have kids from all over the country and all over the world. The majority of them are not Quaker. They come from lots of backgrounds. We are still in the same land that the school was founded on. As you said, we're about a couple miles outside of West Branch. About 12 miles away from Iowa City. We have 126 acres, which is so great to have. Though it's not just for Quakers anymore, we still hold to the Quaker values with a real emphasis on peace, equality, integrity, community, and stewardship.
You mentioned the 126 acres. What's the land like?
There's sort of a main campus part that has most of the buildings, both faculty housing, because a lot of the faculty live on campus, as well as school buildings and dormitories. Then the school has, in the 1970s, they restored about 26 acres to a tall grass prairie. So we have a tall grass prairie with a little wetland on it and a little woodland. And then sort of on the other end of the property, we have the farm, which has about 20 acres in pastures, and we certify about 10 acres organic for our garden. We have some row crops and are working on a sort of permaculture area with pawpaw trees and chestnut trees.
Well, and the farm is I was just going to say, the farm is a very important part of the school. The students actually work the garden and harvest the food and eat the food. This is eating locally, I guess, at its most basic. Tell me a little bit about how that's part of the curriculum.
Sure. Yeah, we have both a garden, and we have animals too. We have livestock. So, for example, all the meat that we eat in the dining hall comes from our own farm. And the, you know, animals are a little more charismatic than plants to a lot of students. There are always those people who love plants, but people really want to play with like baby lambs or go pet the donkey or something. The high school students, we have a rotating crew program where we don't have like a janitorial staff or much of a maintenance staff, and everybody, teachers and students together, take care of a lot of the work around the school, like cooking and cleaning and also some farm work. So students rotate through those chores, the high schoolers, and they often have a chance to be working on the farm, as well as there's elective classes that take place on the farm. So students, you know, someone who's really into art maybe takes a painting class, or if they're really into theater, they take a theater class, or if they really want to be outside and work on the farm, they could take the farm elective. And for the high schoolers, in the first month of the school year, in August and September, they spend all morning on the farm doing interdisciplinary classes on the farm. So that they, you know, they have a class that might sort of be like a science and social studies combination of thing, but it has a farm topic and it's on the farm. Like this year, they did one called Fences, and it was both about literal fences on the farm, like they built a section of fence for our pasture, and also they were looking at political borders and boundaries and thinking about the U.S.-Mexico border and the idea of a fence there, and what does a political border or boundary mean. And that's just the high school. The middle school, we are starting on the farm every morning with the middle school. So they get dropped off at the farm. The kids can kind of run around and play first. Everyone likes to jump on hay bales, and they can go pet the donkey. And we do some farm chores out there. And then, especially in the warmer weather, the next class we had was science. And so we'd often would stay out there. We were learning a lot of soil science. So we could go around the garden and go around the farm and learn some soil science. Then we walk over to campus and have access to some classrooms and labs for classes later in the morning.
So how many students do you have in the high school program right now?
The high school program is like 35 students.
All right, so a very small community. And then with the middle school program, which is not a boarding school program, the high school program, there's a boarding school option, although are there some students that are day students in that program as well?
In a normal year, many of our students board. Some are seven-day boarders because they live far away. Some are five-day boarders and go home on the weekend, and then are some day students. Actually, this year, the way we've been making it work to go to school in the pandemic is the high school went to all boarding. So they came in, they kind of quarantined together, and then they're just staying and not leaving. But normally, yes, we would have some day students and some boarding students, but the middle school is just a day school.
And how many middle school students do you have?
We have 11 fabulous middle schoolers.
All right. And the middle school program is relatively new. When did you start it?
This is the first year.
This is the first year for middle school students. And of course, they have to be relatively local to be a part of that, because they're going to be getting driven to rural West Branch every day, right?
Yes, true. Yeah. Well, you know, we planned on running a van or a bus or something out from Iowa City. But with COVID, we didn't do that. So they're being dropped off individually. But later on, we'll provide some transportation.
So let's talk about the high school program for a little while. With only 35 students, of course, this is a small, elite college preparatory school experience for these students. And we're talking about the nature part of this, but I can imagine that with just that many students, the community part of being at Scattergood Friends must be really essential. And you mentioned you don't have a janitorial staff, so the students are serving each other in many ways. Tell me more about that community building.
Oh, yeah. We put such a focus on community building. And when you talk to graduates of the school who come back later, I think that is the thing that really stays with them, is how strong a sense of sort of family-like community they have there. I don't even know I don't want to talk your ear off. I don't know where to start. The crew program really lends itself to a sense of community a lot, because I think you feel, everybody feels that they're taking care of the place. And also it has a way of breaking down hierarchy. It doesn't matter if you're the physics teacher or a brand new first year student or a senior, you're all there, you know, mopping the floor or scrubbing out the toilets or something together. You've got the sort of inequality in your work and care for the place. We have community meeting every week that is attended by all the high schoolers and all the faculty and staff, where anybody, students or staff, can bring up issues, things they would like to talk about, or a proposal of something they'd like to change or a new idea they have. We have students who are running that meeting as clerks, and there's, you know, trained in how can you be in a room of a bunch of people and sort of keep a discussion organized and make a decision together. Quakers have a long tradition of consensus decision making too, so we're it's often difficult and time consuming not just to vote on something but actually to discuss it until you come to a consensus. But it is a great way of building community and a great way, I think, of helping young people learn to speak up for their ideas and also listen to other people's ideas.
You have students from all over the country and in normal year, international students. Were you able to have international students this year, given the pandemic?
You know, I'm not as connected to the high school this year as other years. I think, yes, we have had several international students this year. There's someone from Afghanistan and someone from Taiwan. Yes.
So with the school, you've talked about your principles of peace and equality. Again, I mean, this mm-hmm. isn't. The tuition is quite high to attend Scatter Good Friends. Do you have a program to try to offer this kind of experience to students who can't afford it?
Oh, sure. There are all, no, yeah. When you look at the website, you'll see, you know, the tuition costs. But there's lots of tuition assistance. Both domestic and international students can get tuition assistance. So I never want people to sort of blink at the number they see on the website and just turn away and say, well, I couldn't afford that. We have families going to the school who can't afford that, and we have families coming to the school who are getting lots of tuition assistance and are not paying very much of that at all. We also have some merit scholarships that aren't based on sort of family need, but based on student excellence.
With your middle schoolers, since this is your first year bringing middle school students into this environment, what were your hopes and expectations at the beginning of the year for this age group?
Oh, for this age group. Oh, let's see. Hopes and expectations in our first year of middle school, I was hoping that we could have a lot of learning that felt really integrated and connected to them. So they just don't feel like, well, now I'm in this class learning this one fact, and now I'm in this class learning this one fact. But they could feel like, I'm doing an exciting project working with my peers and solving problems on my own, and they're interesting problems, and I'm creating something great. I also hoped that we could put a lot of attention to social emotional learning, which of course is important for us at any age, but maybe extra important at middle school age. And with the high school, because we have the boarding program, we can attend to a lot of that part of the curriculum, like in the evenings and on the weekends and everything. But with the middle school, doing a program that was just a day program was new for us as a school. So having to making sure that we really prioritize things, experiences that are really rich in helping them just make friends and do good social emotional learning.
So since we've been focusing on the nature-based part of education this hour, which is an important element of Scatter Good Friends, and working mm-hmm. with these middle schoolers this year, I would love for you to give me a specific example of an experience that you had with the students that was really powerful for you and for them.
Sure. In the fall, our theme for science was soil. So we were learning a lot of things about soil. And we had one big, overarching project we were working on, which was we were building at our farm a no-till bed for vegetable production. We actually got a grant through the Rodale Institute, Rodale Midwest, to be part of a project they're doing on no-till organic vegetable production. A lot of people do no-till for their row crops, for the corn and soybeans around here, which is great. But actually a lot of horticulture, a lot of organic farming uses a lot of tillage, which is problematic. So what was great about this in the kind of nature kind of way was getting the students were doing learning that was a little more intellectual about the properties of soil and soil science. And they're also being able to get their hands in the soil and dig around and just see what organisms live there. And they were building this no-till bed. So they had to stake out the bed, make it the right length and the right width. And then you're just digging. It's going to be a raised bed. One nice thing about being able to do physical work in the outdoors is everybody has different strengths. And so you have some students who might be feel a lot of pride and they're good at math or something, but they don't really know how to dig. And they have vice versa, someone who feels like they're not as good at writing or reading or math, but they really can dig. And that is not a trivial thing. We were building this bed, we're outside building it. And one thing we were doing was actually carrying logs up out of our woodlot. Of course, we had a lot of wood come down in the derecho to put into the beds, kind of a hugel culture thing. It encourages fungal growth in the soil. Anyway, we were carrying big logs out of our woodlot, students going back and forth, going to the woodlot, picking up logs. Some of the logs were so big, it takes two or three students to carry. Some of them were small, and lining them up in this bed back and forth. And one student was really enjoying picking up the logs by himself. And I would say, want me to help you with that? No, I've got it. So he gave these big logs and he's trying bigger and bigger and bigger and putting them, in the bed. And at the end of the day, I said, you were really strong. You were carrying pretty big logs. And he said, I never knew I was so strong like that. And it just made me happy that we were working on a project together that integrates the academics, but also lets them learn new things about themselves and lets them feel connected to the land. So you're learning something not just in isolation, but you're actually building the soil that's going to grow the vegetables that they're going to eat for lunch, in the spring or next year, having a literal connection to the land.
Well, Dana Foster, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Dana Foster is a teacher at Scatter Good Friends School based in rural West Branch. It was founded in 1890 by Quaker pioneers, and these days it's a college preparatory boarding school for high school students and offers a day program for middle school students. We've been talking about nature-based learning and schools all over the state this hour. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. You never need to miss an episode. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charity Nebbie.